Rock and I were talking on the phone today, and both came to the conclusion that had we been on that Alaskan Airways plane where the side panel blew out, I would have severely soiled myself.
True. And that's... that's like some straight out of a movie stuff, right? Where side of the airplane gets blown out. And I saw, I guess, Boeing shares have tumbled 10% and all kinds of chaos going on. So,
well, let's talk to our aviation expert in these matters, our good friend Jay Ratliff. And Jay, how in the world does something like this happen?
Well, guys, there's a lot of moving parts here. And Rocky, we're right. The Boeing shares were down this morning, but there's two players. You have Boeing and you have Spirit Aerosystems. They're the company that built the door. And this morning during the pre-market trading, that particular stock, SPR, was down like 25%. Boeing was down about 6%.
Wow.
So the thought looking at those numbers is, well, there must have been something wrong with the door. That's what people were thinking. I couldn't trade the stock because... I figured that SPR probably would come up because I've gotten some pictures of some things that could suggest that it may be a Boeing issue. And had I done any trading, it could have been looked at as insider trading. And, of course, that's illegal, and I'm not going to do that. But if you guys were on a plane like that and that door or something at that part of the aircraft blew open like that door, it's actually – there's a procedure in place that if we find a bomb on board an aircraft in flight and we need to put it somewhere for it to detonate, the flight attendants are trained to take it to the rear door on the left side of the aircraft, pack it against the door itself, the emergency door in the galley, and secure it in such a way that when it detonates, it blows that door out. Because that part of the aircraft with that kind of a hole is designed so that it gives the crew a chance to maintain, you know, the aerodynamic characteristics of the airplane. And so, again, one of the other things that we talk about when we go talking about the job that flight attendants do, they have a procedure if they find a bomb on the plane on what to do with it before it goes off, because you can't roll down the window and toss it out. So what was it, a Boeing issue or was it something else? And what I've seen are pictures of that door removed during some maintenance inspections from an airline in the world that showed what was called untorqued hardware. That means that some of the bolts inside that would be holding it onto the aircraft were not fully secured. Now, if the pictures I saw were accurate, it could suggest, and again, there's a lot of assumptions here, please understand me, but it would suggest that perhaps the aircraft wasn't completely finished by the time it was delivered to that particular airline. Now, that seems unbelievable.
Wow.
But, guys, it was 2 weeks ago, I was reading headlines that go like this. Boeing urges airlines to check airplanes, MAX 737 airplanes, for loose bolts.
Wow.
This is totally different than what happened this weekend.
So that, I mean, that would indicate, Jay, that they suspected something like this, or they caught wind that
this might be? Oh, no, this was a completely different part of the airplane.
Oh, okay.
In other words, this this one was not what happened over the weekend was a Boeing 737 MAX aircraft that was the 900 series. It's just the latest version of the Boeing MAX family. The directive that went out a couple weeks ago, in fact, it was like the 28th or 29th of December, where Boeing said check all whatever 1,371 or whatever they are MAX airplanes were for missing and loose bolts that had not been tightened that had to do with, I think it was the vertical stabilizer or some other critical component of the avionics package. So you see that and you're thinking, now, wait a minute, this kind of represents a trend where we're seeing one part of the Boeing MAX where it has missing bolts. Now we have a situation here where a door that was secured into the aircraft where it shouldn't have gone anywhere ended up blowing out at 16,000 feet. And we've also found out that the aircraft itself in the days prior had had up to three different indicators where a warning light came on in the cockpit where there was a compression concern. Now, it may have had absolutely nothing to do with what took place over the weekend, but it was serious enough that Alaska Airlines decided, if we're going to operate this airplane while we have this air message, let's not fly it over the water to Hawaii. Let's keep it over the mainland so that if we have to land somewhere, jeez, if that issue needs to be addressed,
what?
We can land.
This plane might screw up, so just in case.
If this was a script, you'd hand it in and people would say, guys, there's no way anybody would believe this. There's no way, but that's what we're looking at. But you think of the horror on board that airplane. This aircraft seated 178 people, but there were 171 on board the aircraft. So you had 7 empty seats. And the odds of having the seat next to that window that got blown out, that door, unoccupied, the seat next to it, the middle seat, unoccupied, was an absolute miracle. Because you're only talking about, what, 7 empty seats on that aircraft?
Right.
2 of them were right there. And they had the winds, I believe they said the winds exited that aircraft, the atmosphere, at close to 400 miles an hour at the time that they had the explosive decompression. It was so severe, we're told, and again, the initial reports, and I'm assuming that these are accurate from the NTSB, that it blew the cockpit door open.
Yeah, and I heard that it sucked some kid, I don't know if it was a man or a teenager or what it was, sucked his shirt off.
Oh, yeah. I mean, and remember that we had iPhones, we had iPads, we had glasses, we had all kinds of things that were shooting out that opening, especially at the time that the initial decompression took place. It didn't remain that way, obviously. But that's what happened, is that, the pressure was equalizing, if you will, between outside the aircraft and inside the aircraft. But the FAA has a policy that if you have a child that's under 2 years of age, you can put that child in your lap. And thankfully, no one was sitting anywhere near this, because that type of force would have made it nearly impossible to have held on to that child. And you don't even want to begin to think what might happen. But the other thing about this that's unfortunate is that the NTSB has found out that the cockpit voice recorder has been overlapped, erased, not available, what have you. So they cannot use that as evidence. So, and I'm not suggesting anything was done to it, but they're on a 2-hour loop. And the NTSB, for a number of years, a bunch of years, has been begging the FAA, because all they can do is recommend, please, let's have a 24-hour loop on the cockpit voice recorder so that we can have access to everything, not just a 2-hour window. And, of course, the pilots union and others have fought it, and that's one of the reasons that it's not happened, the same way that the NTSB would like to have cameras in the cockpit. And the pilots fight that, saying that's an invasion of privacy, but guys, if, iHeart wanted to put a camera inside the studio there, yes, they can do it, and B, there's nothing we could do about it because, there's no privacy guarantee when we're sitting inside the studio. So it should be the same thing for anybody else who happens to be at work, but we've never gone that route because there's so much evidence that can be gleaned from that kind of information that sadly we don't have access to. But right now the NTSB is on the scene. They're going to do their investigation. They're going to look at the maintenance records. They're going to look at everything. There's a paper trail they can follow a mile long for both how it was built, where it was built, how it was installed, who installed it, when. And remember, this airplane's only been in service for 10 weeks, and try to find out exactly what happened so that they can address everything they need to. Now, I will say this. The Federal Aviation Administration was very, very slow at grounding the Boeing 737 MAX after it crashed 2 times. In fact, it took the president stepping in to do it, President Trump at the time, to make sure it happened. I was on every national show I could get on screaming at the FAA, saying that as long as we had questions, we needed to get those airplanes grounded. And we didn't know what was going on, but we had too many similarities that were of a concern. The FAA, though, after this situation, quickly over the weekend grounded the Boeing 737 MAX aircraft that were the 900 series. And of those, it was 65 airplanes for Alaska Airlines, which was about 20% of their fleet. United Airlines has 79 of these, but it represents like 8% of their fleet. So the impact as far as flight disruption is going to be minimal because it's only 2 airlines. But hats off to the FAA for grounding those airplanes immediately, making the inspections mandatory versus what they've done before, making them optional for airlines to do. And airlines in the past had passed on the optional inspection. So thankfully, the FAA did the right thing here.
All right. Well, Jay, it just tells me next time I get on a plane, I'm bringing me a monkey wrench of some nature
and an extra seatbelt right. or something. Right?
Hey, well, look, Rock, you're serious. Keep that seatbelt on. And you can look at the Aloha Airlines flight many, many years ago that had the top blow off. That's all I ever had to see, and I keep my seatbelt on constantly.
All right. With that, Jay, always a pleasure, my friend. Thanks so much.
Take care, guys.
Great stuff. Thanks, Jay.